This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
Good morning. It's Friday. It's Michaela Gordon, and I'm here with our guest co-host. You may have seen him guest appear on Shameless this week. Also, he has a new movie on Hulu called Midnight Kiss. Help me welcome Chester Lockhart to the show.
Hey, guys.
You're a friend of Channel Q. You've been on here before.
I have been here. The restraining order has finally been lifted. Honestly, I'm feeling great.
Are you feeling free?
I've had about 8 cups of coffee already, so I'm feeling something. Maybe it's a bowel movement.
Oh. Maybe that's what it is this early in the morning.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How was your week this week? How's been your new year? How's been new year?
Uh-huh.
You've had a really big new year. You have. You've been on Shameless, which was amazing.
Thank you.
You were so funny.
Go on.
In my opinion.
Go on.
And
are you biased?
Not at all. I don't even like you, so I wouldn't be biased.
Best friend. Whoa. Wow. Big talk coming right now. My 2020 has been a little chaotic, but chaotic good. Like, you know, like actually like good chaos.
Yeah. Well, you've had a lot going on.
I've had a lot going on. Very. I'm so busy. It's like so hard because I'm so busy, so booked right now. It's like, whoa. I don't even know how I had time to come in here. You know what I mean? You guys can't see in here, but I'm actually filming a movie inside the studio right now while also doing Michaela's nails. Like, I've got three jobs and I'm a proud working woman.
You're very, very busy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so proud of you and I'm happy that you can join us today.
I love you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Every day, thank you for having me.
Every day, thank you for having me. Well, we have a really good show for you. There's been so much happening. We talked about this story. Oddly enough, for my birthday, we had a big drag brunch.
Oh, it was your birthday recently. Whoa.
And you were there. You made it incredible. But we met, you know her, she's a friend of yours,
yes.
Pickle.
Delicious on sandwiches.
Pickle has been, very much so, dope.
Yeah.
She's been all in the headlines because she does drag time story to kids in middle school, and there's been a lot of protests against her and drag queens altogether. So we're having her come in to talk about the backlash and what we can do. There's also a new law that they're trying to make happen in Missouri, so we'll discuss that. Also, our nurse practitioner, James Simmons, is joining us. Now, you're really knowledgeable about this, the coronavirus.
It's going crazy, and it's really interesting. We've got some facts coming up for you a little bit later on. You know, a lot of people are being quarantined in China, and it's not really happening abroad yet. But whenever the Center for Disease Control is like, "Don't worry," and then there's like 25 deaths the next day, it's kind of like, okay, I'm kind of worried.
Well, it's a bummer too because it's the Lunar New Year.
Yes.
So
yeah.
This is a lot going on.
It's a huge deal in Asia. You know, it's the most important holiday of the year. It's a time for renewal. It's, you know, tons of celebrations are being canceled because they're trying to prevent the disease from spreading rapidly. And frankly, the Chinese citizens who are being quarantined are like, you know, we're fine with like being separated, but like give us the medical care that we need if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
And then I'm so excited because season 12 drag race, RuPaul's Drag Race, has been announced.
Yes.
One of our friends is on there, but you've worked very closely every season almost with the Drag Race girls and with RuPaul.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that you're joining us because we want a little insight into what it's been like.
You guys are gonna have
going
to Venmo me if you want the tea.
But for now, let's do a little news on the beat. So House Democrats will be focusing on President Donald Trump's obstruction of Congress when they complete their opening arguments in the Senate impeachment trial today. On Thursday, Democratic impeachment manager Rogers attempted to persuade senators that the evidence presented in part of one of their opening arguments is grounds for Trump's removal from office based on the Constitution. Here she goes. Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler. He said the articles of impeachment overwhelmingly supported by the evidence amassed by the White House, notwithstanding the president's complete stonewalling, his attempt to block all witnesses and all documents from the United States Congress. All right, well, Chester, you're our guest. So how about you tell us who's celebrating a birthday today and welcome all the Aquarians.
Okay, well, honestly, first of all, the rest of January is all about my good Judy, Miss Michaela Gordon, because her birthday was on the 14th, but we are going to keep it moving. Actually, it's your birth year. We're just going to keep it going all throughout
Thank
the
you
year
so much.
And into 2021. James Kennedy from Vanderpump Rules is 28 years young today. Love James. He's such a sweetheart, so subtle and definitely sober. Vine star Jay Versace is turning 22. I feel like Jay Versace has been 22 for about 10 years now. Honestly, girl, tell us your secret. The hair is on fire. We've got actor Ed Helms, turns 46. Very funny. You might know him from The Office. I know him from Grindr. And Kenya Moore from Real Housewives of Atlanta is 49. She is looking great.
She is gone with the wind, fabulous.
She may be problematic, but those wrinkles are gone with the wind, baby, because they are not on that face. And of course, legendary singer Neil Diamond is turning 79 carats today.
Touching me, touching you.
Hashtag me too.
Sweet Caroline,
your time's up.
Time's never seemed so
And that is literally all the birthdays that are celebrated in the world today, right now. Those are the only people that are having a birthday today.
That's all that counts. Mm-hmm. All right, but you can, if you're not celebrating a birthday, have a vibe of the day. January 24th, 2020. Chester literally hates when I talk like this, but I don't care because I'm spiritually
so
grounded. The new moon brings auspicious tidings of prosperity and abundance to you now. The universe seeks to replenish, restore, and create through you. Allow yourself to receive beyond what you have thought is possible by opening your heart with gratitude. Let the blessings of good fortune flow easily into your life now. That means basically you're rich.
That could apply to anyone.
It means you're rich. Now, coming up... is this sweet move in online dating too much? Is it creepy? Is it adorable? Find out what one guy did in the first 24 minutes on Grindr to win over a date. Coming up next.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the new Channel Q. It's Michaela Gordon. I'm here with our guest co-host, Chester Lockhart. Now, Chester, you... maybe have been seen on Shameless, maybe on your new Hulu movie, but you've also been seen on Grindr. And that's really where you shine. 100%
a lie. I do not use Grindr, and no one sees me because I'm unlovable.
Well, I have Grindr.
Yeah.
I have a Grindr because I was upset that all of my gay male friends could kiki without me.
So you wanted more attention.
Needed it.
Yeah.
So I have one. I don't really use
it. Is it your profile picture or is it like of a dude?
Oh, it's absolutely me. In full glam, full beat. People do not get it. They're like, what is she? What are you doing?
You're messaging everyone like, hey.
I'm like, hey, my friend thinks you're cute. They're like, please. They block me.
Yeah.
I've never been blocked so many times in my
life. I blocked you.
But do you, do you use dating apps? You don't use Grindr.
Yeah,
you...
I do occasionally use dating apps. Absolutely.
Do you find that they're successful? Have you ever met anybody?
I mean, I've met lots of people. I've gone on lots of unsuccessful dates. I've been single for 6 years. So anyone who's listening, you know what to do. It's at Chester Lockhart on Instagram. My DMs are open. My Venmo's also open.
Okay. Well, maybe then.
Made it about me. Sorry. Continue with the story.
This is about you because maybe you should start a Grindr. You could find love because there's a story going around and this man seems like he'd be your type.
Okay, great.
This guy booked a flight. There was an exchange that happened between these two guys, Tim Wright and then this person he met. He didn't even know his name. And after 2 hours of talking, the guy jokingly said, you know, I'm busy until tomorrow night after 9 p.m. unless you want to come to Helsinki. So Tim Wright, who lives in London, England, actually booked a flight to Helsinki, Finland, all to visit this guy he had just met on Tinder. Now, he didn't really know his name. He didn't know too much about him. But he said, I'm just going to go. I think it's fun. This is the most spontaneous thing I've ever done, and I'm on my way. Well, the guy was like, I think so, too. This is really spontaneous. I think it's fun. They go. They meet. And he posted his story on Twitter. But people on Twitter were not having it. Some thought it was really cute, and others were like, that's kind of creepy and weird. Like, you spent a lot of money, you don't even know his story, you're going to go there, what if he's a mass murderer?
I'm waiting for the cons.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think this is so cute. I love it. Listen, if I can find a daddy that has the money to book a flight immediately just to see me for a few hours after 9 p.m., I've had... worse. Okay. I think it's nice.
It's just so sad. You know, I think that people really stereotype, you know, members of the queer community as being afraid of commitment. But look, okay, the frequent flyer miles are here to show that we are not. Okay. He said, oh, we just met 10 minutes ago. What's your name? Doesn't matter. Flight's booked. I'm going to be in Finland.
Like, on my way.
On my OMW, if you will. I also love in the exchange, like they're talking and he says, unless you want to come to Helsinki. And then Timothy replies, I'd love to, NGL. He's like, NGL, not going to lie. So all of this was going to say, like, this is Michaela and I interacting on Grindr. Like,
yeah.
We both had, like, fake usernames and we were talking. And I just ended up coming over to her house.
That's basically
what this is. Something that you would do when you were dating? Like, are you the person that goes above and beyond?
Here's the problem. I never had to date when dating apps were a thing. Like, I've been in a relationship
Stop bragging.
Collectively for wow. over 10 years. But I will say, if somebody said to me, especially if I was younger,
mm-hmm.
if somebody was like, that's it, I'm just going to come see you. I don't know. For me, it's a little bit different because I'm a woman. So I would
really?
Feel, surprise, I would feel maybe like a little bit scared. Like, I don't want them to just show
I just
up
think
at my
it's
door.
I think honestly, like that's the main thing more than anything is it's just a little dangerous. You don't know who you're meeting on a hookup app, flying to a different country where they speak a different language. Like, it's all a little bit sus. I don't know if you guys watch Don't F with Cats on Netflix recently, but if you are Luca Magnotta, like, this is your prime suspect. So I just think, like, everyone needs to watch their back a little bit more. Like, I think it's cute and romantic and it's nice that someone is, you know, ready to drop the coin, but, like, maybe, you know, if you've got that much money lying around, spend it on a background check.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? Like, not 163 pounds on a flight to Finland.
Well, people had a lot to say about it, but I will say that long distance relationships do have a 58% success rate, according to new research. And listen, TLC has an entire show, 90 Day Fiancé, where they've met on a dating app. They have 90 days to figure out if they can get married. They're on like season 47. So
right.
clearly
it's great
someone's got
everyone,
it right.
Well, everyone's in such functional relationships and they all work out perfectly. So it makes sense.
First
you know?
Of all, I hope yeah. you're not coming for that show because it's one of my faves and you know that. But we're going to wish Timothy and his new boyfriend good luck. I hope that
if
they meet each
together.
Other if they're still together. We don't know their current status, but we do know that he thought it was very romantic. And I think it is too. So we'll keep you updated.
Yeah. Also, Tim, your emotional baggage is available on Carousel 3.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's Michaela Borden here with our guest co-host, Fran Drescher. No, I'm kidding. I wish.
It's Celine Dion.
It's Celine. It's Chester Lockhart.
Hmm.
You may have seen him on Shameless, but he is here in studio with us. Now, I love Fran Drescher. If you listen to the show or know anything about me, I adore her. I felt like she was the first person I saw on television when I was younger that represented everything that I was. And so I'm really excited to see her new show, Indebted. It airs February 6th on NBC. Because I feel like we haven't seen her in a while. I feel like she kind of took some time off. I know that she got married in 2014.
This is difficult for me because you talk about her literally on the hour every single day. So I have seen her. Like, I'm very aware of her life. You update me constantly.
I do. I have the notifications anytime
yeah.
she posts on Instagram.
Yeah.
Does that make me a stalker or just very obsessed?
Okay. When you show up on our doorstep every night pretending to be the Amazon delivery guy, like, you know, you'd be the judge.
Far.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm the Grindr story. I would drive 24 minutes to Malibu just to get to her if she would have me. But the restraining order is real. No,
yeah.
I love Fran Drescher. And I saw her one-woman show, thanks to Outlandish in Palm Springs. What's up, 103.1 FM earlier last year, and she really opens up about her story and how she was married to Peter Mark Jacobson, the co-creator of The Nanny.
How you have three first names. Go on.
Okay. For 21 years before he came out to her as gay. They got divorced, but they're still best friends. And they live together. They still... I went on the set of Indebted. He was there. He's her number one support. They have a beautiful relationship.
This is kind of like you and me, except you're holding me prisoner.
This is literally us, yeah. Except he wants to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's doing press now. And people are saying, like, what are you doing? You're 62. You're back on television. Are you dating? And she says, I'm not dating. I have a friend with benefits. He comes over twice a month. We make dinner. We have good conversation. We have sex. That's all that I need. And everything else, my gay ex-husband gives me emotionally and mentally. She said, I'm delighted. It keeps me going. I'm very happy with my life and the way that it is. So she's good being single.
I love the twice a month thing. It sounds like it's court ordered.
Yeah. Twice a month he has to come over to my home.
And do the dirty. And then
watch
the rest
tennis.
Of it. Yeah, they're not tennis.
That she
ew.
Said that. She said they like to lay in bed and watch tennis.
How did you not know he was gay sooner, honey? Come on.
No, this is the friends with benefit, not even the gay ex-husband.
I thought, I have my gay ex-husband who I love and fulfills a lot of needs. I have someone on this. Oh, it's a different person.
There's someone on the
I read
side.
The story. I misread the story. I thought it was him. He was taking one for the team.
No.
Or giving one.
Giving one.
First of all, she looks great. I didn't know she was 62.
She looks amazing.
I was just doing the math. I was like, oh my God, come on, AARP.
Well, she looks incredible, but she's really, really smart. She just announced that she's taking The Nanny, the musical, to Broadway, and she's writing it with Rachel Bloom, who you love from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Love, Stan.
That was a really great decision. She has another show coming out. I believe it's called Southern Charm on Netflix, rumored to be starring Catherine McPhee. So she is doing well in her career. She's very busy. I know that her and Peter, her gay ex-husband, are the best of friends. So it would make sense that she's happy and fulfilled, but does that technically make her single?
I like what Emma Watson from Harry Potter fame recently, a press outlet asked her, are you single? And she said, I'm self-partnered, which is a much better term for me. So if there are any suitors listening, I would no longer like to be self-partnered. I would like to be other partnered.
Well, I think it's good though being self-partnered sometimes,
yeah.
Because I know there are some people out there who really desperately need to be self-partnered for a couple years that find themselves in relationships just for the company. And listen, there's no drag on that. It's difficult sometimes when you're just celebrating something or even just grocery shop. Sometimes it's difficult being single and you want to have somebody there even if it's...
Seems kind of pointed. Okay, I'm the most single person in the room, so I feel like you're attacking me.
You have me, and you know that's true. But I think she's handling it well. I think that's great. I also like that, although it may be weird that she has two dates every month, I feel like she's a really structured woman. I feel like you have to be. In order to be Fran Drescher, you have to be structured. Everything.
If you're dating Fran Drescher, you need to be like a really good bra. You need to be supportive and have her back. And I think, and maybe also be push-up, you know?
Oh.
I also love this narrative that, like, I think there's a lot of stereotypes about women in their 60s, you know? Like, for her to be single and killing it and hot still, I'm literally looking at a picture of her right now. She's hot. And she's like, I don't need no man. I love it.
I love that you said the stereotypes, because at 62, you're also expected to have already had children.
Yes.
Married. She is very single, has no children, and she talks about part of the reason she didn't have children is she was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. She has her whole charity, Cancer Schmancer, that she runs as well. You know, I think this is a modern age woman, and I think that this is what women can look forward to. At 62, you can have three shows, starring in Indebted on NBC, writing Netflix, a Netflix show, mm-hmm. and in the middle of taking The Nanny, an iconic show, to Broadway.
It's incredible.
That's what single looks like, honey. Lisa, you're out.
I wish I had been that way when I was 62, you know?
But not 82. It's different.
No, okay. Goodbye.
The Morning Beat. The new Channel Q.
Yes, honey. Now, this is a song you want to hear when you're enjoying yourself late night in a club, maybe in Miami. Shout out to Power 96.5 HD2. Maybe you're with your best Judy. Mine is guest co-host Chester Lockhart. You may have seen him on Shameless, but we are here now in studio enjoying our Friday. Chester, what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? Like, you're kind of a daredevil. Here on Channel Q, we often have weird things that we dare each other to eat. I've had crickets, I've had bugs, I've had worms. Mm-hmm. What's something that you have eaten?
The weirdest thing I've ever eaten. I had a girlfriend in seventh grade.
Oh my God, I hate you. Oh my God, if you can't tell, Chester's V-gay. Okay, so would you ever eat like crocodile meat? Is that something
yeah, I have.
That, and
yeah.
you have?
Yeah,
okay.
No, I'm, well, as I was just saying, like I'm vegan in 2020, so like I'm not doing that anymore. But I'm half Korean, and there's a lot of interesting things that come with Korean traditional dishes. So I've had, you know, they're called century eggs, 100-year-old fermented eggs. I've had balut, which is like a Filipino delicacy of like this basically like half come to life chicken or duck fetus, I think. Like I've eaten a lot of strange things.
Yeah, well, because it's a lot of it's cultural things.
Yeah,
things
absolutely.
That maybe
yeah.
Americans would be like, that's so weird. To other right. cultures, it's like, this is delicious.
We eat processed ham. Like, come on. They put an entire...
What, Spam?
No, just like any sandwich meat. Like they just put the whole animal in a blender and they're like, eat this.
That's true. After seeing a couple of the Netflix shows, I'm like, ugh.
It's not good. Okja.
Well, I was reading the story about our friends in Florida. It's been gorgeous, by the way. In Florida, it's been like 82 degrees. People have been at their pools. It was like the hottest Christmas. I was so jealous.
Okay, but then also.
And then also.
It's Florida.
It is Florida. So things went down.
Uh-huh.
And this week, there was warning of possible falling iguanas in light of unseasonably low temperatures, and residents were preparing themselves. Well, it happened when the temperature dropped below 50 degrees. It becomes the iguanas become susceptible to freezing once they drop down to 40. And so they were falling out of the trees and people were like, oh my God, they're dead. Well, it turns out they weren't dead. All you needed to do was just move them. If they're on the road, move them over. They'll be okay. They just need to, you know, unthaw. However, people thought it was a good opportunity before they realized that they were not dead to maybe make them into... Oh, God, lunch.
Delicious snacks.
So that's what happened this week. They started falling from the skies, and people started making lunch out of them, and then it got me curious, because to me, I would never eat an iguana. Like, that doesn't sound good to me. I've tried crocodile. I think it's more just me in my head. It was actually really good, but I, knowing it was crocodile, was like, I'm good. However, people have been eating iguanas since at least 10,000 years ago.
So and since you were born.
Since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. It actually can help cure colds and increase your sex drive. So there's actually reason.
I need that.
So we're going to Florida.
Wow.
We're on our way.
Okay, so let's just talk about this first of all. Like Florida, like it is the state where anything is possible. Like here's some recent headlines from Florida. if you guys don't know, if you just type in Florida man on Google and just read the headlines that come up, like Florida is a state where truly anything is possible. A Florida man is accused of enticing an alligator to bite his arm and then pouring beer into the reptile's mouth after his friend caught it. Yes, a Florida man beat up an ATM after it gave him too much cash after a meth-induced binge. Like, it truly, like, only in Florida could you be watching the morning news and it's like 70 degrees, cloudy, humidity is low, and an iguana might fall on your head today. Like, it's just so crazy, but it's like also so normal for Florida.
Ariana Grande is
from there.
Well, is Ariana Grande from Florida?
Yes, Boca Raton. Whoop whoop. 954. What? Kung Fu.
Well, we play this game called Real News, Fake News, and a lot of the craziest headlines, they
Florida.
Always come from Florida.
Florida.
Well, listen, if you want to go to Florida and you're looking to make iguana a meal, it's high in protein, low in fat.
It's delicious. It's been enjoyed in South American and Central American countries for thousands of years.
Yeah, and it's well suited for tacos, burritos, curries, soups, and gumbo. You know what? I think I'm good.
Iguanas are friends, not food.
Yeah, and also they're not dead, you guys. If you see an iguana, he's just a
Pet
little
him.
Cold.
Yeah.
Pull him over, maybe put a blankie on him, and let him live his life. Don't eat him.
Iguana rights.
Iguana rights. Mm-hmm. Channel Q for iguana rights.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. It's Michaela Gordon on this happy Friday, and we are joined by our guest co-host, Chester Lockhart. You may have seen him in his new movie on Hulu, Midnight Kiss, but he is here in studio joining us. Chester, what are you doing this weekend?
Avoiding you, and then also crying into my cereal and wondering why Hugh Jackman has still not texted me back.
That's eventful. You're very busy. Busy.
Yeah. Also, about Midnight Kiss on Hulu, it's the first major produced horror movie with all queer leads, so can we get some snaps for that?
Yeah, that's a big deal. Major snaps for that.
Blumhouse, thank you. Queer Rights. Sorry,
yeah.
Moving on.
I love that. I'm going to be in Palm Springs this weekend. Shout out to 103.1 FM. I will be hosting a gala at the Renaissance Hotel for the L Fund. Now, if you're not familiar with the L Fund, it's an incredible organization that helps lesbians who need access to education and financial resources. Also, if they're looking for homes or places to start their careers, L Fund really offers everything. And so we're going to be having an awesome gala thanks to Barbara Carpenter, who we spoke to earlier this week. And if you want to donate, you still can head on over to L-Fund.com.
That's incredible because you are a lesbian in need.
Oddly enough, I'm going to a gala where I also need help. You know what? I'm just going to stand on stage and be like, I would also like some financial resources.
You have a tip bucket? You're hosting in a gown?
Too much. They're like, Michaela, please leave. Well, I'm really excited because this hour we're going to be joined by our nurse practitioner, James Simmons. We've been talking a lot about the coronavirus. So what we need to do, the threats that are happening. And then also, Chester, you actually found this story. Crystal meth is the crisis that is killing gay men that a lot of people aren't talking about. So we're going to go in depth with James Simmons about that as well. And then later on in the show, I'm so excited. We've been talking about drag queens reading storybooks at libraries to children, even just in middle school. There have been a lot of protests. And so we're going to have one of the drag queens joining us, Pickle, to talk about the backlash and how we can continue to support her. But for now, let's do a little news on the beat. So here's what's going on in the world. There is with the coronavirus, it's going to be a very serious problem for a while. But the World Health Organization says it's not yet a public health emergency of international concern. It is an emergency in China, surely, and could become an international one if it continues to spread. Now, dozens of people have died from the disease, and Beijing and Shanghai have activated their highest level emergency responses. That's terrifying. While 10 Chinese cities are under travel restrictions, medical staff in Wuhan are struggling to cope with the outbreak. On social media, people have claimed that hospitals are turning away the sick due to overcrowding, and feverish patients are packing wards with overtaxed screening and quarantine procedures. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention raised its travel advisory for Wuhan to its highest level, urging travelers to avoid all non-essential trips to the city. We will be going in depth after this break, of course, to talk with our nurse practitioner, James Simmons. Now, in other news, as states and reproductive rights groups battle in courtrooms over the harshest crackdowns on abortion access in decades, tens of thousands of people are set to take the street Friday, calling for an end to the practice. President Donald Trump will attend the rally in Washington, D.C., making him the first president ever to join the annual event protesting abortion. This is the 47th year of the event, which is held around the anniversary of the 1973 Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion. Last year alone, 58 anti-abortion laws were passed, including 25 that banned the procedure to some extent, according to an institute, which is online, a research organization that supports reproductive rights. I will say a girlfriend of mine came out on social media about her abortion. She said, you know, I was 24 years old. I was with my partner. I took all the steps needed. We used protection. I was on birth control and my birth control failed me. And at 24, I did not have the resources to take care of a child. And so I think that people often look at abortion as like they're 16 and they don't want to take care of the kid, or they're older and they don't want to. And it's just really important that you allow women to take care of their bodies. And I'm not surprised Trump is showing up, but you know, he'll be there. All right, well, in other news, better news, Chester, who's celebrating a birthday today?
Okay, first of all, we've got comedian Yakov Smirnoff. He is turning the very subtle age of 69, honey. Ooh. And I wonder who he is going to be in bed with tonight. We've also got friend of Channel Q and star of Rock of Ages in Hollywood, Frankie Grande. He is turning 37.
Are you surprised?
I thought Frankie was like 27. Go off Frankie and the skincare routine. Yes. He's been using the snail filtrate, honey. Mary Lou Retton, America's sweetheart and gymnast, is turning 52. Shout out to Mary Lou Retton. She's still flexible and she is still on Tinder. And also comedian Kristen Schaal from Bob's Burgers is 42. Go off, Kristen. Get the checks, get the gigs, and pay me at the end of the month.
Happy birthday. Now for your vibe of the day. It's January 24th, 2020. The new moon brings auspicious tidings of prosperity and abundance to you now. The universe seeks to replenish, restore, and create through you. Allow yourself to receive beyond what you have thought is possible by opening your heart with gratitude. Now let the blessings of good fortune flow easily into your life.
BS.
Now coming up, we've got our nurse practitioner, James Simmons, talking to us about the coronavirus and also later on the crisis that is killing gay men. Stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. It's Michaela Gordon here with our guest co-host, Chester Lockhart. And I'm laughing because this is often a conversation we have. Stop calling my telephone. My telephone.
I wouldn't know because Michaela literally never calls me.
I want to tell you something about being friends with Chester Lockhart. If I don't answer the phone after one ring, he will call me 27 times until I finally answer it. So
That's not a joke. I will literally call 27 times in a row.
Lady Gaga and Beyonce's telephone is our entire relationship. You can be Gaga. I will be Beyonce. And that is truly who we are in a song. Now, I'm so excited because we are often joined by our resident nurse practitioner, James Simmons. He gives us so much advice. And there's a lot going on currently with the Wuhan coronavirus. It's a very serious problem. And although it is not here in the U.S., we do need to be prepared. So joining us on the line now is James Simmons. Good morning.
Good morning, Beyonce and Lady Gaga.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for just addressing us the way that we need on this Friday morning.
Okay, of course.
Talk to us about the coronavirus. I mean, really, let's start from the beginning.
Yeah, so this is, it's kind of interesting that this has gotten so much media attention because, you know, the first thing I want to say to all the listeners and everyone is that this is absolutely not a reason to panic. The flu, the normal flu is actually much worse right now, and that's really what people should be concerned about. But it's making international headlines because this virus is closely related to SARS and MERS. Do you guys remember hearing about those before?
Absolutely.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
So SARS, they're both upper respiratory viruses, and they're in this family of coronaviruses. So the Wuhan, SARS, and MERS, they're all in sort of the same family of what's called coronaviruses. And SARS and MERS got really dangerous and really out of control. There were 8,000 cases of SARS. There were more than 1,100 deaths from SARS. So it was kind of a big deal, not really here in the United States, but in other parts of the world. Well, what's going on now is this Wuhan virus is sort of a similar virus. And at first they thought it was only in animals, but now it appears to have jumped from animals to human and now being transferred human to human, which they did not think it was going to happen. So this is why it's a little bit of a bigger deal right now.
So what do we need to do? I mean, I know that you say we should not be panicking, but are there any things that we can start doing to sort of prepare for if it does come here? When, at what point should we start getting really concerned?
Really panicking? Right. Well, definitely still
don't panic. Because
honestly,
it takes nothing. I could have an extra shot of espresso in my coffee and I'm off the deep end. Like, I need facts here.
Freaking out. You got it. Well, so far, so here's some facts to know. There's 881 confirmed cases total globally, and 865 of those are in China, right? So the other cases are actually spread across seven other countries. Here in the United States, we have two confirmed cases. That's it. The first one was a 30-year-old gentleman from the Seattle area who is a United States resident, had traveled to the Wuhan region in China, the Wuhan city, had been there, came back and said, I have these upper respiratory issues or whatever, which are, just so you guys know, it's kind of a fever, it's a cough, it's like a really bad upper respiratory situation, and sometimes some diarrhea will come with it. So he had these symptoms, and he was like, well, I've been to Wuhan, there's this international travel alert about this virus, I better let somebody know. 24 hours later, he was diagnosed. We now have a second confirmed case, very similar, a 60-year-old woman who is a resident living in Chicago, had gone to the Wuhan region in China, has now come back, same thing. She's like, I have this fever, I have this upper respiratory thing, I'm coughing, it's kind of hard to breathe. She went to the hospital in Chicago. They sent her test to the CDC 24 hours later. She's now the second confirmed case in the United States. But again, what I want to tell people is we're in the hundreds of thousands of confirmed cases of influenza in the United States this year, which is a much bigger deal than this Wuhan virus right now.
You know, Chris. Hi, Chris. It's Chester Lockhart.
James. We met.
Okay, first of all,
Chris Simmons.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hi, James. We matched on Tinder. It's Chester. So first of all, I just want to say, I think some of the media attention on this is much like the quote-unquote Chinese restaurant syndrome, and it's ingrained racism, kind of like pinning things on the Asian community. You know, H1N1, SARS, all this stuff originated from China, and so people are making this a big deal. I see on Facebook, people are like, oh my gosh, like, look at all these Chinese people. They're getting it from animals, and I think they're kind of conflating this into an American issue. But I want to ask you, you know, based on the actual things that are happening in the Wuhan province, you know, they're kind of struggling to lock everything down, and they're saying they've passed the golden hour of when they should have locked the city down. In fact, now they're shutting down public transportation. They're trying to build a hospital with 1,000 beds just for this situation in under 10 days. What do you think, like, how is this going to go down? How much longer is this going to be a threat to Chinese people? And for anyone visiting China, do they have to be concerned for the Lunar New Year celebrations?
Absolutely. Well, that's it. The Lunar New Year celebrations is what you're bringing up. And I just want to apologize to everybody. I'm actually at work right now at the hospital. And interestingly, we have a briefing coming up right now about what my hospital, who unfortunately I can't mention on air, but they will, what we're going to do about this, because, you know, one of the biggest issues that's going on right now from public health officials globally is that, you know, we're going to start celebrating Chinese New Year this weekend, and it is the largest annual global migration of human beings on Earth. And so, what happens is, and let me back up a little bit. So you're right. So public health officials in China have said, we're going to shut down Wuhan City. They have actually stopped public transportation as well. They're not really allowing people to leave the city or to come into the city. We may have passed what some public health officials call this golden hour. But interestingly, a lot of previous research has shown about viral outbreaks that quarantining actually doesn't really work. That A, people don't really get quarantined, and B, by time we ever start to quarantine people, it's not too late, but it's too late, if that makes sense. Just because the way we, you know, with medical technology and being able to detect these viruses and how easily they're spread, by time we get around to quarantining, it's already too late. So we better not quarantine, we better just treat the people who are sick.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think what a lot of people don't realize is Wuhan City is bigger than New York City. There are more than 11 million people in Wuhan City. It is a really large place. This is going to be a big deal. You know, I don't think we need to hit the panic button yet, but it definitely could be a thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are talking with James Simmons, our nurse practitioner. We covered the coronavirus. Now, coming up, gay men are dying from a crisis we're just not talking enough about. So coming up, we'll be discussing crystal meth and what we need to be doing about it. Stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
Good morning and welcome back to the new Channel Q. It's Michaela Gordon with our guest co-host this Friday, Chester Lockhart. Now, before we left you, we were talking to our nurse practitioner, James Simmons, about the coronavirus. And literally the minute we went to break, I got a notification that a second case of the Wuhan coronavirus has happened in the United States. It's been identified in Chicago. So for our listeners in Chicago, B96.3 FM HD2, we are just letting you know that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have let us know that in a press briefing. She is currently in isolation. It is a female in her 60s. So I'm happy that we're talking about it. But for now, we're joined again with James Simmons because Chester found this story that I found really interesting and something that I agree we don't talk enough about. It's a crisis that's been going down for a while. So, Chester, why don't you take the lead on this?
So, the New York Times actually yesterday came out with an opinion article. It's called Gay Men Are Dying from a Crisis We Are Not Talking About. Now, recently, it was announced that HIV infections among gay and bi men fall by 71% in the United Kingdom since 2012, which is staggering and amazing. And this is mostly because of introductions in, obviously, safe sex education, but also PrEP and things like that. But we've seen a rise in the unfortunate use of crystal meth in the gay community. I mean, now I'm even seeing it on adult websites. You're seeing the titles that are openly like party to play video, things like that. It's becoming an issue that is now sort of being accepted and just sort of nonchalantly glanced over in the gay community. But, you know, death is real. The addiction is real. James, tell us about what you see in the gay community with crystal meth. I mean, it's really ruining lives, and it seems like we're not really talking about it.
Yeah, you know, what's really interesting is that there were, you know, I think I'm a little bit older than the two of you, but there were, you know, I remember opinion pieces about this in the 90s and the early 2000s that were also coming out from public health officials and others, you know, really active and involved in the community, saying there's a crisis going on in the gay male community in particular, and we're not talking about it, we're not doing anything about it. Here we are 20 years later, and we're actually still having that crisis. And just to sort of put it in perspective for your listeners, you know, I think what's important to know is the opioid crisis is getting really big attention right now, but there are places in the country where people are dying more from meth overdose than they are from opioid overdose. Mm. In fact, just our neighbors, Oregon to the north, are one of those states where they're actually seeing triple the amount of people die from meth overdoses than we're seeing from opioid overdoses. Yet the country's talking about the opioid crisis, which is a big deal. Don't get me wrong. We need to talk about this. But also for our particular community, and for particularly for gay men, it's very specific to gay men, this meth crisis is worsening when even just a few years ago, we thought it was slowly going away.
Wow.
It's interesting because I read this article also yesterday that John Kapoor, the founder of U.S. Drug Making, has been sentenced to 5 years jail time for fueling the opioid crisis. But also, as I was scrolling through Facebook this year, and we talked about this with our therapist, Dr. Therese, yesterday, I have found that in 2020, I have already seen three deaths that have happened from gay men that have correlated to drug use, and nobody really goes in depth. But what are things? How can we help? How can Channel Q help? How do we help? How do we, you know, bring visibility to this? Because although it's something that's not being talked about, it's definitely very much around.
It is, and I think even just, you know, it's around. And how can Channel Q help? Having conversations like this, and frequently, and being very open and honest and talking about this in the community. You know, there are some startling statistics about how it's estimated, we don't know this for sure, but it's estimated that between 30 and 40% of gay men have tried meth at least one time in their life. And what happens is it is so incredibly addictive. And there really is this correlation between meth use and sex, right?
Yes.
And so when sex and meth use happens, there's some lots of different interesting things that go on. So not only can you talk about the, you know, internalized homophobia and the stigma that goes along with even just sex in general, let alone sex amongst LGBTQ folks who may already have some stigma and some internalized homophobia, that sort of thing. But then what you add to that is this incredible high that goes along with the meth and the sex. And then individuals start to think, well, I can never have sex like that again.
Well, it's interesting because also just 2 weeks ago, Timothy Dean, who was the second man found dead in the span of 2 years in the political activist and prominent Democratic donor Ed Buck's home in West Hollywood, was ruled accidental by the coroner's office. It showed that he did die of a methamphetamine overdose. But we've talked a lot on this show about Ed Buck and how he's sort of just gotten away with this. It seems unfortunate as well, because even now we're in a place where we at least are trying to go to the police. We're trying to hold these people accountable, and they're still getting away with it.
They are getting away with it. I think it's really interesting. The guy who wrote this opinion piece serves a community in South Los Angeles, which is primarily African-American, and that's where the crisis is really taking off. And Tim Dean, who died in Ed Buck's house, both men actually who died in Ed Buck's house were African-American, and we're definitely not talking about it in that community as well.
Wow.
Well, I'm always happy to bring up topics that are very important within our gay community, especially with gay men. James Simmons, we appreciate you so much. Thank
My
you
pleasure.
Again, and we will talk to you next week. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, Gaga and Beyonce.
Thank you, Hame.
Au revoir.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up in What's Poppin', a celebrity couple has broken up after only 2 years of marriage. We're talking about it. Stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. Now for a little pop culture, let's find out what's happening in What's a Poppin'. So I really wanted to do this story with you, Chester Lockhart, because you have worked with all the RuPaul's Drag Race girls. Todrick is your best friend. And so you're on set quite a bit. And it's a big deal because Kimchi and Miss Cracker are making herstory because in a teaser for the upcoming 30-second commercial for Sabra's hummus, which we have dined on many a time, you and I, they will be in the commercial that will play during the Super Bowl on February 2nd.
It's literally the only way to get gay people to watch sports, honestly.
Kimchi and Ms. Cracker, I will do it.
Kimchi and Ms. Cracker. Honestly. On a really bold move for Sabra, you know, like that. I've actually never seen them have Super Bowl time. You know, it's very expensive, costly ads time. And to have the only people in the commercial apparently be two really celebrated drag queens, especially one that is Korean, have to stand.
That's a big deal. I know Korean as Kimchi. Does she come? She doesn't have any daughters, does she? She's not a drag mother to anybody, is she?
No. Oh, I mean, not that she's paying child support for that I know of. No.
Okay. Well, listen, we're going to do a little out and about now for all of our listeners around the country. So Chinese New Year will be celebrated in every
Lunar
city
New Year.
That we... Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That we are affiliated with tomorrow, January 25th. Go out and celebrate with our Chinese family and let us know your experience at We Are Channel Q. For our Dallas listeners at Alt 103.7 FM HD3, this Saturday, the 25th at 10:30 a.m., you can have an amazing time at Drag Diva Brunch at the Magic Kingdom. That's at the House of Blues in Dallas, 2200 North Lamar Street in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be a lot of fun. So for our listeners there, check that out. Now for our listeners in Cleveland, Ohio, Q1041 FM HD3. The Office TV show has a live musical parody in town. Tomorrow it starts at 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. And that will be at the Playhouse Square. Don't miss this hilarious new musical that lovingly pokes fun at everyone's favorite coworkers, and your favorite moments from all 9 seasons are mashed up into one typical day. So don't miss that. Now, I'm really excited about this because she is a friend to Channel Q. We've had the opportunity to interview her quite a few times. To our LA listeners, 97.1 HD2, our very own King Princess is performing today, January 24th, and tomorrow, January 25th, at the Wiltern. So for tickets or any information that you may need, just head on over to our Instagram at We Are Channel Q. We'll put something up. And then do please hashtag Channel Q if you take any photos or any video that you get, because we love King Princess. You were actually supposed to be in her video this weekend.
Why would you mention that?
Was that a secret?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's not now. And this is national radio, so everybody knows. Now, coming up in our next hour, you guys have to know this. I'm not a secret keeper. Don't know how to keep one for the life of me. So do check all of that out. Now, coming up, we've got Pickle. She has been in the press for a few months now because drag story reading is amazing. And it's happening at local libraries. It's so much fun. But of course, haters are going to hate. There have been protests. And so she's joining us to talk about the backlash. Stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
They're jealous because they can't read.
The Morning Beat. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. It's Friday, and I'm Michaela Gordon here with our guest co-host. You may have seen him in his new movie on Hulu, Midnight Kiss. Also, it's important to mention that is an all-queer cast. Chester Lockhart, welcome to the show.
Queer rights.
Queer rights is very important. And so are drag rights, because I'm excited about this hour.
That was a brilliant segue.
I had a birthday, last weekend.
Immediately makes it about you. Continue.
As one would do immediately. And I was so happy because at the drag brunch, I met for the first time a friend of yours, Pickle.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And Pickle has been in the tabloids because we've been talking about how drag queens are going to libraries and reading stories, really fun stories, to middle schoolers, to children that just show up. And of course, there's been protesting. And so we were able to get Pickle. She'll be joining us to talk about that. Also, there's a new Missouri ban that they're trying to pass that could be really damaging. But, here's the thing. I have a niece and nephew, and I first of all, am their aunt, so they don't need to go to drag queen reading. They just can come over to my house.
That's just you when
or
you have
they
a cup
just
of coffee.
Go see Aunt Cheryl.
Yeah, hello.
How about when you went to my niece's first birthday in your outfit and you held Natalia when she was 1 year older in high heels?
Literally, why did you buy her heels? She's fresh out the womb and you bought her Louboutins.
So there was this website that you could get little babies like
baby
these
heels.
High heels. But then me and Chester did not know that my niece was a little bit heavier than other babies. So I got them and we went to put them on her feet and they did not fit
they didn't
her
fit.
Fat feet.
So fortunately, they fit me.
And then you went to Piranha
Absolutely.
That night
and
made some point.
Yeah, traveled right on over. They're made of foam. So I did not the best support, but honestly, don't need them. My feet are so tiny, like a little girl.
Got
so.
The job done. Shout out to 94.1, our listeners in Vegas, Piranha.
Absolutely.
We've had some good times there.
I think, we're going to have Pickle on in a minute. Shout out to Pickle. She is so funny and lovely. I can't wait to see her. So basically, people are just, they're up in arms that drag queens are reading to their children. Essentially, they're just mad because they're illiterate is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And they can't read to their children.
The moms
know?
Are mad because they can't beat their face the way that queens can.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's just ridiculous. If you look online, you can find some videos of protesters literally showing up to toddlers sitting there while they're being read storybooks in a library that has hired public drag queens in the daytime. Let's think about that daytime. Fluorescent lighting.
However,
for drag queens.
I was going to bring this up when we talked to Pickle, but I will say it now. It's interesting because one of the protesters, after he protested, ended up committing suicide the following day within that week. And so it's interesting
because of a video that was taken or was not publicized.
We're going to go in depth. Okay. We'll go in depth with Pickle. But, I feel like in some ways these protesters oftentimes are struggling with their own sexuality or their own feelings or their own, hurt people hurt people. So I do want to talk to Pickle about that and the Missouri ban. But for now, let's get to news on the beat. So here's what's going on. House Democrats will be focusing on President Donald Trump's obstruction of Congress when they complete their opening arguments in the Senate impeachment trial today. On Thursday, Democratic impeachment managers attempted to persuade senators that the evidence presented in part one of their opening arguments is grounds for Trump's removal from office based on the Constitution. Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler said the articles of impeachment are overwhelmingly supported by the evidence amassed by the House, notwithstanding the president's complete stonewalling, his attempt to block all witnesses and all documents from the United States Congress. I've been following the impeachment trial very closely, as we do. We have Samuel Garrett Pate. He always joins us from Equality California on Wednesdays. But sticking with some Trump news that I did find, nothing that Trump does really surprises me. But he is the very first president in 47 years to attend March for Life rally, which is a rally that is protesting abortion. So he'll be there tomorrow. And over this past year, 58 anti-abortion laws were passed, including 25 that banned the procedure to some extent. So you'll be seeing him in the tens of thousands of people that are set to take the street today, calling for an end to the practice. Just interesting how we can still not let women run their own bodies.
Well, I think no one has more of a say in a woman's body than a 70-year-old white man from New York.
Obviously, yes.
He
he's touched a lot of female bodies. So, I guess that credits him. All right, well, let's get into birthdays. Chester, who's celebrating a birthday today?
Birthdays! First of all, Michaela Gordon had a birthday this month. Shout out to her. She is 16. James Kennedy from Vanderpump Rules, turning big 28, looking beautiful. Love you, James. Donatella's brother, Jay Versace, is turning 22. I just said earlier, he looks like he's been 22 for about 10 years. Friend of Channel Q and star of Rock of Ages in Hollywood, Frankie Grande turns 37. Shout out to his Botox. And of course, legendary singer Neil Diamond turns 79.
Happy birthday.
Touching you.
Donald Trump.
Listen, That background is a backup vocal that happens when you are drunk in a karaoke bar and every listener sitting in their office right now or driving in their car sang it with me. I don't want to say that I know Big Wings karaoke very well, but the fact is I do. Anyway, vibe of the day. Let's get into some good vibes. On January 24th, 2020, the new moon brings auspicious tidings of prosperity and abundance to you. Now, the universe that seeks to replenish, restore, and create through you. Allow yourself to receive beyond what you have thought is possible by opening your heart with gratitude. Now, let the blessings of good fortune flow easily into your life.
I'm not thankful for anything.
You should be thankful for me, as I am your BFF. But if you're not thankful for me, be thankful for Pickle, who will be joining us coming up next to talk about the backlash of drag time story reading.
Let's get fermented.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. It's Friday, and it's Michaela Gordon here with your guest co-host, Chester Lockhart. Now, I have said a million times, I had the best birthday. I went to drag brunch last week and there was a drag queen that made it so special for me. But I love drag queens. I feel like I learned how to be a woman thanks to drag queens. That was honestly the nicest thing you've ever said to me in all of our years of friendship. And I feel like if I had children, and when I have children, I want them to be exposed to everything. I feel like I want them to be very cultured. We'll be taking them to prides. I mean, it's not enough that I'm a lesbian, but like they need to know everything.
You know, speaking of cultured and fermentation, we've got a very briny queen sitting in the studio with us.
We do. I'm so happy because this queen has sort of made the press for many reasons, but including Drag Queen Story Hour. She kills it. She actually has one later on today, but there's been a lot of backlash, so please welcome Pickle.
Hi.
Good
how
morning,
are you?
Pickle. Now, I want to talk about the backlash that's been happening, but for people that may not understand, what is Drag Queen Story Hour?
All right. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Drag Queen Story Hour is exactly what it sounds like. It's drag queens reading stories to kids in libraries, bookstores, or venues across the country and around the world. It's actually in 40 cities globally, and it's this kind of international phenomenon. And, you know, we read everywhere. I've read in churches. I've read at a temple. I've read at the music center. And it's really about, you know, showing kids that drag is this really cool art form. A lot of the core values of being a drag queen, like love, acceptance, self-expression, joy, are actually values that we want to teach our children. So, you know, a few years ago when Michelle T started it up in San Francisco with Radar Productions, it just took off because drag is such a great way of telling stories and such a fun art form. And so kids really, you know, beyond it being important and queer, they really react well to it because it's like meeting a Disney character.
I feel the same way.
It's so funny that, so speaking about backlash, and you've said you even had some people protest at some of your readings here in California, you know, people are saying we need age-appropriate material for our kids. You're talking about love and acceptance. What's the issue here?
Yeah, I never really understand the argument of, like, age-appropriate material because it doesn't make any sense. Because, like, obviously, like, you know, when you go to Drag Queen Story Hour, it's appropriate content. Like, you know, it's sort of like saying, like, oh, you can't take kids to movies because there are movies that are violent. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, obviously you don't take your kid to see an R-rated movie. Like, obviously you don't take your kid to a midnight drag show. Like, you know, but Story Hour is in libraries, yeah, you know, and we're reading storybooks to kids, like, yeah, and that's all it is.
Yeah. So that's a new law that they're trying to make happen. Representative Ben Baker, a Southwest Missouri Republican, is trying to make a law. It's called the Parental Oversight of Public Libraries Act. But including trying to make these new laws, there have been protests. We covered a story earlier this week about protests that were happening in Queensland. And then, oddly enough, this is interesting to me. The person that was running the protests took his life only a few hours later after video surfaced of him protesting these drag queens and standing in front of these children with these signs. And it ended up coming out that he was also gay. And so do you think that sometimes these protests, I mean, I have my opinions, but do you think sometimes these protests are really them fighting themselves?
I do. I think that, you know, people get confused between like religion and spirituality. Like, I'm a very spiritual person. I have a relationship with a power greater than myself. But I think of it as something that should provide love. So I do think that people are fighting against themselves in that they're fighting the anger and the fear and the hate that they've allowed to just fester inside of them because they don't have strong spiritual practices.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like, I pray every day because, like, I believe in having a strong relationship with something outside of myself. But I, you know, I choose love as like the energy to tap into. So I do I think that they're very ill. And you know, a lot of the backlash and a lot of the protesters are the same people that want to ban Harry Potter from libraries. You know,
yeah, that's
it's
true.
Like they're it's insanity. And I don't actually typically engage with them at all. Like, you know, people reach out for comment to like, we want your side of the story. And I'm always like, it's not about sides. Like my right to exist and express myself is not a topic of conversation. Because
yeah, not something you need to defend.
It's not up for debate. Yeah. So, like, you know, when Fox News is like, what's your side? I'm like, there is no side.
I like reading. Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
Like, it's a literacy program.
Also, we saw, I mean, you got national attention because did they not, am I mistaken, they used your picture on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen.
First of all, the press that we're getting from this pickle, yes!
I know. It's all, like, it's funny because, like, I usually end up in like a lot of these media things because Getty Images came to one of my story hours. So like it's a double-edged sword because sometimes I'll like, you know, Google myself without a lubricant, which I don't recommend.
Don't feel embarrassed. We Google ourselves. One time I wrecked a car in front of me on the freeway because I was Googling myself. I don't know why I said that on
don't
air.
Don't admit that.
Yeah. She's like, I'm running for the police. I'm on the lam. Please help. They're like, we've been looking for you.
I'm like, here I am. Well, we're going to have more with Pickle. We're going to talk about where you can take your kids to Storytime Hour, also where you can see Pickle. And then, of course, we're going to be announcing RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12 cast. So stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat. We'll be right back. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. We're actually staying right here. It's Michaela Gordon with our guest co-host, Chester Lockhout. Now, why do I keep messing up your name?
She literally said during the break, I've never messed up the name
in all the time that I've been doing this.
Friend.
My own best friend, Lockhout.
I like Lockhout. You should change it.
I like Lockhout. Well, I also spelled your last name wrong
for like two years. It was 2 years.
Thank you. It was
7 years.
Okay, I still do it. Joining us also is Pickle. Now, you may recognize her because she does drag time stories for kids in public libraries. You've been to churches. You've been to temple. The Jews are always here for gays. I just want to say that. Jews love the gays.
And surprisingly, there's been a lot of backlash, but here we have two front lashes in studio.
Oh,
no.
Sitting on that one. You like took
all
the break
morning.
And you were like,
I thought about it
nope,
in the bathroom.
But you're like, oh, I gotta say something
he
about lashes.
He just took a 6 minute break to make that joke.
Just brainstorm.
I workshopped it in the bathroom.
He brought in a test audience.
He was workshopping it with K Earth. Yeah. He's like, do you guys think
it's
this
like,
is
good? They're like, we've told you to stop coming over here, please.
Like, the restraining order is still in effect.
So we want you to follow Pickle at Pickle Drag Queen. And also, you have something really fun coming up for the next 15 weeks at Flaming Saddles.
I do. I'm so excited. I'm doing a pageant at Flaming Saddles. It's going to be like Toddlers and Tiaras meets Operation Desert Storm. It's called the Saddle Saloon Gal Roundup Drag Pageant Contest Spectacular. I'm losing my mind. I can't believe they're letting me do it. I feel like I tricked everyone.
I will be there every Thursdays for the next 15 weeks. But also, if you want to be able to see Pickle and bring your kids to Drag Time Story Reading, also follow her at Pickle Drag Queen. Now, there's been big news this week. Because after AJ and the Queen was released and after RuPaul's talk show was canceled, people have been like, what's next? Where are drag girls at? I feel like for a while we were getting so inundated with queens. It was like they were everywhere. The shows were in different countries, but now we're back in the United States of America. Season 12 has been announced. Now, I know that, Chester, you work very closely with all the girls you have for years on the television show.
Allegedly.
And, Pickle, you're friends with so many of the girls. But we're going to announce now some of the queens that have been announced. Now, when you saw the trailer, what did you think about the trailer?
Well, Pickle put it perfectly. What did you say about the American theme?
I love RuPaul. I love RuPaul's Drag Race. I think it's so sickening. But I watched the trailer, and it reminded me so much of the trailer for The Purge. That it kind of freaked me out. Because they sing Sea to Shining Sea in The Purge trailer. And RuPaul is already, like, so fierce, but, like, a little spooky. Yeah. So she's all like... like, I was...
All just dressed in American flags.
Yeah, the red and red, white, and blue is literally just blood.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's incredible to see so many cool LA local girls. My girl Gigi Good is
Okay, so let's talk about Gigi Good. Gigi Good, I'm going to absolutely favor the entire season, and I will be talking about her most because we know Gigi, but Gigi puts in work. Like, Gigi's
incredible.
Been,
yeah.
And is so artistic. Even if you just look at all of the girls together, she's a standout star.
She's unreal. So just like on point. Her fashion sense is amazing. She did my contest like 2 years ago at Bar Mattachine, and she wore this like, I just remember it was so simple. She wore like this blue coat. It was like yellow hair, and I was like, this bitch is sickness.
Yeah, she's
polished,
so,
so young. Also, something really cool to note about her, just as her friend, is her mother actually makes a lot of her looks for her. So it's amazing that it's like a mother and drag queen team. Like, that's really cute to me.
And she's beautiful in and out of drag.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to watch her. Now, somebody else I know, one of the local queens, Dahlia Sin.
Yes.
I love Dahlia. I've been following her for a long time. Mm-hmm. She's the back eighth on deadly the scene. Sin. Also, Britta Filter.
We love.
Amazing.
Do you guys personally know her?
Yeah.
I do not, but I have followed her for a while.
She's an incredible performer.
What's Britta's deal? Because I'm not familiar with her either.
Well, she filters out like 90% of the things that you find in water that are unhealthy for you. So
and absorbs them into her pads.
Also, sorry, SF local queen who has been at my K-pop party, Rock'em Sakura. We've got Asian representation. We love to see it.
That's
hello.
Great. Okay, also, there's a controversial name, at least, one of the queens, Crystal Method. Do you know her? Are you familiar with her?
Oh my God, I just got that.
Do you get it? Yeah. Did you just get it?
I never get drag names until like two months later.
Listen,
and I'm like, oh, that's so funny.
They're my favorite. And I think they're so clever. But Chester was saying earlier as well, some of the names, speaking of Britta Filter, they have to filter. Like, they have to be a little careful. But she's showing up on season 12.
They were not shy about it. We literally just had a story about how crystal meth is the epidemic we're not talking about. But
and
we are
like,
talking
hey,
about
yeah.
drag
crystal
race.
Method. Yeah.
Well, coming out of New York City, there's going to be Jackie Cox, Jada Essence, Hall will be looking for, and Jan Sport, which I think is such a great name, Nikki Doll, and then, of course,
Michaela Gordon.
Mm-hmm. No, more importantly, Pickle. Pickle, thank you so much for joining us.
Please
remember to follow Pickle at Pickle Drag Queen, and we will be at Flaming Saddles to watch and support you.
Screaming.
Also, if you do want to bring your children to the story time, it's incredible what you're doing. I think that you do present love and acceptance. I think that you show children they can be anything they want to be. So really, thank you for doing
thank
that
you.
For the children.
My pleasure.
Mr. Grunge, because we have... Do you like how I just cut you? I was like, thank you so much. And you're like, thank... And I was like, bye, gotta
you're
go.
Like, shut up.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. It's time for a little pop culture. So here's what's going down and what's popping. This made me kind of sad, Chester Lockhart. Serena Williams loses at the Australian Open. Now, Williams, the eighth seed, fell in three sets, but she also lost to Caroline Wozniacki, bringing an end to the Grand Slam champion's career. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to act like tennis is a big deal to me because it's not. However, Serena Williams, I really stan. I think she's one of the greatest athletes. And although she's won a lot and it's like, it's okay, just go home and raise your baby, like enjoy your hot husband. This was a big loss for her.
Yeah, first of all, the loss that she faced this week was actually to Wong in the Australian Open, where, you know, less than 5 months ago, Serena Williams needed just 44 minutes to bounce out, and now she is really bemoaning her unprofessional loss. She said, I'm way too old to play like this at this stage of my career. I'm definitely going to be training tomorrow. Now, I could read you some scores and things like that. Honestly, no idea what any of this means. Don't follow sports.
I know. We don't want to act like we know what's going
on.
Here's what she said. Personally, I made a lot of errors and I didn't hit any of those shots in New York or in general in a really long time. So that's good news. But I just made far too many errors to be a professional athlete today.
Honestly, well, we love an accountable queen. We have to say that.
Honestly,
she's owning her loss.
I love that. And yes, she's not being bitter. She's not being rude or upset. She's
said,
like,
I'm just getting better.
I'm not the one.
I got to train.
Got to do better.
Wish I was the same.
We appreciate. I know when I do bad, I like sulk in the corner for 2 days. I'm like, I'm a loser.
You want a bagel?
Get away from me. During the break, Chester and our producer Jeffrey both know that although I love bagels, I hate them now because they are a part of my weight gain. And so Chester has created...
In a new war on bagels, Michaela Gordon, salty or everything flavored? Find out at the top of the hour.
All right, well, more news. This is really exciting because Modern Family star Jesse Tyler Ferguson is making a big announcement. Now, with Modern Family finally ending, people are going their own ways. Everyone wants to know what happens next. But on The Late Late Show, actor Jesse Tyler Ferguson and his husband, lawyer Justin Makita, announced they're expecting their first child.
Honestly, so cute. Stan Justin, love him. We were in the Taylor Swift video together. Die for him. And so happy they're expecting their child. They are amazing people and they're going to be amazing parents. I wish they would adopt me.
Yeah, well, they're expecting in July. But listen to this. When asked, are you having a boy or a girl? They responded with... a human.
Hello, thank you.
Come on, 2020.
No more gender reveals in 2020. Stop deciding for your child. Just let the person grow up to be who they're going to be.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on gender parties?
Hate it.
Yeah.
I think it's damaging, and I think it supports this binary and the idea that we have to stick into one lane because of quote-unquote biological reasons. Let kids find out. Let kids decide what they want. You know, you're not going to create any kind. I think that's the argument a lot of conservatives had about it. They're like, you're forcing your children to be non-binary and to not understand gender roles in the household. But it's like, no, people are just going to be who they want
to
be.
Well, yeah, but also to that argument as well, we're forcing them to be a boy or a girl when having gender reveal parties. So let's just...
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Anything.
That's what they're saying. They're going to be who they're going to be. Let's let people love and live how they want.
I love that. All right, well, coming up in our final hour, a lot has been going down with Donald Trump. So we're going to call our very own Trump to talk to him about impeachment and what else is happening, including the March for Life. So stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. It's Friday, and we are with our guest co-host, Chester Lockhart. Now, I want to remind you that if you've not seen his movie on Hulu, check out Midnight Kiss. Also, it's an all-queer cast. It's such a big deal. And I'm very proud of you because you've had a really big year so far. We're only almost a month in, but you're doing an event tonight as well here in Los Angeles if people want to come check it out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the best queer LGBTQ plus everyone is welcome party. It's called Heaven. Tonight it's going to be downtown. You have to RSVP at heaven.com. Heaven is with a 3 instead of an E. Okay, very tricky. Mm. All right, so make sure you're going to the right heaven. Okay, all dogs. Go to heaven. Okay.
Let me tell you something. Talk about iconic films. All Dogs Go to Heaven was one of my favorite movies. Also wept. I was like 5, but I had a lot of emotions.
I don't really remember the plot of that one, though.
It's in the title, Dogs Go to Heaven. And then you're watching, like, Live It Up.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
All right, well, check out Chester tonight at Heaven. It really is so much fun. I love it. Also, if you're in the Palm Springs area, tomorrow I will be there. Shout out 103.1 FM. I'm hosting a gala for the L Fund, and you can still donate. The L Fund is an organization that empowers young women through education, but they still are struggling financially, so we're going to help raise some money. It also helps them find stable homes. And it's a big deal. You know, within our community, we have a lot of homelessness, particularly mm-hmm. with our youth. And so any way that we can give back, it's very important.
That's amazing. Yeah. And if you want to give back directly to a lesbian in need, you know, Michaela does live in West Hollywood. So send her a check.
Venmo me, mommy. It's a stupid joke that we have.
It's our song, Venmo me, mommy.
Venmo me, mommy. All right, well, we wanted to give you some tips on what to do this weekend as far as L Fund and Heaven. But for our listeners around the country. Here's some things that you can do this weekend. Jeffrey, can I get a little support? Thank you. If you are celebrating the Lunar New Year, it will be celebrated in every city that we are affiliated with starting tomorrow, January 25th. Go out and celebrate with our Asian community and let us know your experience at We Are Channel Q. Now, for our Dallas listeners at Alt 103.7 FM HD3, there will be a drag diva brunch at the Magic Kingdom at the House of Blues in Dallas, to our Cleveland, Ohio at 104.1 FM HD3. The Office television show has a live musical parody in town, and that will be from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Playhouse Square. Don't miss this hilarious new musical that lovingly pokes fun at everyone's favorite coworkers. I'm telling you, I love that show. That show really made me want to be a comedian, and if they ever do a reprise, I probably won't get cast, but I will definitely watch it. You know, that's real, honey. Okay. Yikes. And to our LA baby. Yikes.
Wow.
To our LA listeners, 97.1 HD2, our very own Channel Q artist, King Princess, is performing today and tomorrow at the Wiltern, so make sure to check her out. Now, if you're celebrating a birthday, Chester's going to give you some celeb birthdays you share with, but first, here's a little bit of news going down also this weekend. Estates and reproductive rights groups battle in courtrooms over the harshest crackdowns on abortion access in decades. Tens of thousands of people are set to take to the street Friday, calling for an end to the practice. President Donald Trump will attend the rally in Washington, D.C., making him the first president ever to join the annual event protesting abortion. This is the 47th year of the event, which is held around the anniversary of the 1973 Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion. Last year alone, 58 anti-abortion laws were passed, including 25 that banned the procedure to some extent, according to the Guttmacher Institute, a research organization that supports reproductive rights. Now, I do want you to stick around because this hour, I'm so happy we have our very own Donald Trump, so he can talk more about the March for Life and this week's impeachment. But for now, Chester, who's celebrating a birthday?
Well, first of all, on January 14th, the biggest celebrity of all, Michaela Gordon, celebrated her 22nd birthday. Round of applause for her. Speaking of The Office, actor Ed Helms is turning 46. Tatiana Ali, she's chilling, maxing, relaxing from Fresh Prince. She is turning 41. She looks amazing.
She looks amazing. Incredible. 41?
Yeah, girl.
She looks good.
Honestly, have
jealous
to stand. Yeah. Speaking of Botox and filler, friend of Channel Q and star of Rock of Ages in Hollywood, Frankie Grande, turning 37. I want a Frankie Vendi. If you know what I mean.
Let me tell you something. Frankie looks so good, and he recently got sober, what, about a year ago?
Yeah, incredible.
And he looks incredible. I'm
shout
just really
Frankie
proud of him.
Yeah, so subtle, too. And of course, for all the white people listening, legendary singer Neil Diamond turns 79. Play the track. Touching you. Come on, Caucasians, you know the words.
So good.
Yes, every Caucasian mother in Michigan knows that song, but not a single person of color. Okay.
You know what? Hold on. Shout out to our listeners in Michigan.
Hey, Michigan.
Thank you. Okay, coming up, we've got President Donald Trump joining us to talk about impeachment. And then, of course, we are going to talk about the discussion we had earlier about crystal meth and the crisis that is happening within our gay men, thanks to our nurse practitioner, James Simmons. So stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. It's Michaela Gordon chatting you up on this fine Friday here with our guest co-host. You may have seen him last week on Shameless. Chester Lockhart is here with us.
Hi.
Now, Chester, you and I have strong feelings about Trump.
I mean, you know, I think he's one of the, you know, most subtle, least narcissistic, definitely, you know, about queer rights, about women's rights. Like, it's just so great to see him making so many positive changes in our country and abroad.
Absolutely. And because of that, we're going to get him on the line right now
discuss
this week's event.
He doesn't return my text. That's crazy. You got him.
He blocked you. So let's go ahead and give him a call.
Hello?
Hello?
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Trump. How's it going?
Absolutely fantastic. I have to tell you, things have never been better. The conservative Republicans have never been more united, Mikhail. It's really incredible, I have to tell you.
Oh, I'm so happy about that. Well, we have a guest with us today, Chester Lockhart.
Now,
I know that you've talked to him before, but he's joining us again.
Hi, Donnie.
Hello, buddy. How are you?
I'm lovely. You know, you ghosted me on Tinder. We matched. We super liked. And then you were nowhere to be found. Were you busy with the impeachment?
No. That was Mike. That was Mike Pence.
Oh, my God. That makes sense. That makes
Michael.
Sense.
That was Michael. But he speaks very highly of you.
That makes Mike sense. Yeah, thank you.
All right, Donald Trump. Well, listen, it's been quite a week as your impeachment trial has begun in the Senate. We've been covering it. But how do you feel it's been going?
Well, it's fantastic. It's great because we have all the evidence and we're not giving it to them. So that's the best way to win, I think.
I can understand that. That makes sense to me.
Yes. And we're making sure that Fox News says it's super boring all the time. They go, everybody, it's boring, it's boring. So no one watches. No one watches.
All right. Well,
and we made sure the snacks were really crappy. So they hate being there.
Yeah, no, I hate being there. Now, some of your Republican colleagues have decided to defend you in odd ways. Ted Cruz, your old primary foe, has started a podcast to discuss your guilt or innocence. Have you thought of any out-of-the-box ways to show your innocence?
Of course. But first off, I just want to say, Ted Cruz, total loser. What a weirdo. When you shake his hands, they're wet. It's very strange. It's very, very strange. But I've come up with some fantastic, you know, because I'm a marketing guy. You know me. I'm a marketing guy. I was thinking about getting like an EKG so that they show my heart is pure or something. Maybe a full body x-ray, something like that. So people can see like right through me and then they know that I'm totally innocent.
I have a weird feeling people already do see right through you. But you know
what?
Get the EKG. Why not? You know, I think Melania would like that. Maybe for a Valentine's Day gift.
Because I usually just give her a framed 8x10 of me, but you know, that's something different. I think that would be nice.
Well, okay. Mr. Trump, you're currently in Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Summit. Are you
doing
any activities or partaking in any of the Swiss culture while you're there?
Well, first off, I thought Davos was like in the Middle East, like Dubai. So we had to turn the plane around and go to Switzerland. You know, somebody made a big mistake on that one. But I have to tell you, have you been to Switzerland? The place is incredible.
No, I would love to go.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I love it. One of my favorite countries.
It's so clean, and the water's clean, and the air is clean. But these people, all they do is invent stuff. You know, they invented Swiss cheese. No one talks about that. They invented chocolate. Did you know that? Chocolate. They invented chocolate. And Velcro. Who knew the Swiss invented Velcro? I love Velcro. Velcro's so smart. I thought we invented that. And you know what else they invented?
What?
They invented the Swiss Army knife, and they don't even have an army. Total losers.
The Morning Beat. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. Now, we are officially done here this Friday going into the weekend. I'm so excited. And a big thank you to our guest co-host, Chester Lockhart. Make sure you do check him out in his movie on Hulu, Midnight Kiss, and all queer cast. And if you want to see what he's up to, follow him at Chester Lockhart. Now, where can they see you one more time again tonight if you're in the Los Angeles area?
If you're in Los Angeles, come to Heaven Party, HEAV3N. Find us on Instagram. You got to RSVP to get the secret address. It's an amazing all queer rave. And you know, I want to give a big shout out to the person that makes this morning show happen every time I'm here. And that is myself. I want to thank me. You know, there's a lot of award shows happening right now, and I think I'm not getting enough awards. So
I'm not getting even nominated
at all, you know?
It's kind of a blunder. Speaking of award shows, are you going to be watching the Grammys?
No.
I feel like I am boycotting the Grammys this year.
Why is that, Michaela Gordon?
Because I'm really upset. We've been covering the story all week long, but CEO Deborah Dugan has been in the tabloids. She got put on a leave of absence, and she basically is the only one coming out saying, she filed a complaint against the Academy earlier in the week, alleging that the reason she got put on leave was because she had reported a rape accusation against the former CEO and corruption within the Grammy nomination process. So she's totally put the Grammys on blast, and they're like totally ignoring her. And so I feel like I want to stand with Deborah Dugan.
Did you hear the other tea, though, that she leaked about the nominees?
Yes, about the Song of the Year.
Oh, is that the one where she was like a someone who got a little bit more money, got not exactly...
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I believe her. And it's funny because the old CEO, who shall not be named, said that if women wanted to start winning a Grammy, that they needed to step up. That was in 2018. And kind of what's infuriating is Deborah Dugan is stepping up and she's being honest. She's also saying it's very racist and the people that are voting are not of the right demographic to be voting as well.
Of course. I think it's interesting, like, it's all these award shows, you know, especially like the Oscars, I mean all of them, the major ones, it's a very political game within the societies, unless it's like a People's Choice or SAG Awards type situation where actual real pools of real people are voting. It's not accurate. It doesn't portray what people actually like. You know, there's a lot of common interests here at stake with big record labels and stuff like that, even for the quote unquote independent artists. It's very interesting. We're seeing a lot of the same people nominated for a lot of the same awards. Like, we love her. Obviously, huge breakout star this year, Billie Eilish. Like,
1,000%.
Incredible.
1,000%.
But there's such a diverse community of music happening now. It's so much more accessible to everyone.
Well, and it's like you're either going to have to get on the train or you're not. Even CMT just came out 2 days ago and said that they will start playing the equal amount of female videos as they do male videos. Yeah. And so they're trying to... they're trying to expand and be a little bit more 2020 forward. But with these award shows, I feel like we have the power to stop this. And so it's going to start with me. So I stand with Deborah Dugan. I don't think I'm going to watch it. And I hope that she feels like she's making a difference, because in a world of Me Too, honey, we got to start stepping up.
But, I will be watching it, but I'm going to pirate it illegally so they don't get any money.
Good.
I saw a really interesting tweet the other day, and it was essentially, this guy said, you know, a lot of the biggest media that we've had, the most respected books, all were written by these white men, and actually the literature isn't that good. It just appealed to other white men who were in control,
so
they all
that?
Deemed it good. I don't know, there's some guy, but I thought that was actually very interesting and honestly quite true, because look, it's like people are coming out again saying, wow, Oscar's so white again, Oscar's so male again, like, and people are arguing, you know, women need to step up, and they're like, well, of course, if all the people voting are these white men in power, that of course they're like, well, that doesn't appeal to me, I didn't have any interest in Little Women and other stuff. Well, of course you didn't.
It's the same way as Trump going to March for Life tomorrow to walk into the protest. It's like, you have nothing to do with the female body. You should not have any opportunity to judge or govern what we do. But, you know, it's a conversation that will continue on Monday. For now, we hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. If you're in Palm Springs tomorrow, I will be there. I'll be hosting the gala for the L Fund. You can still donate. Head to thelfund.com or do see Chester Lockhart this evening at Heaven. And we will see you on Monday. Have a great rest of your weekend.
I won't see you, but follow me,
Chester,
Venmo
will
me.
Never be back again.
Nope.
Have a great weekend.
Love you.
Love you.
The Morning Beat, the new Channel Q.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.